This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. Blank is a play by international award-winning theatre maker Naseem Sulaimanpour, where different performers take to the stage each night to perform from a script that they have just seen for the first time, which has blanks left in for the members of the audience to fill in. So it's being performed in Kuala Lumpur by local performers from the 5th to the 7th of July. The performance is being curated by Joe Kukatas as part of the Damansara International Arts Festival. And joining me today via Skype from Berlin is the show's creator Naseem Sulaimanpour himself. It's very exciting to hear that Blank will be performed in Kuala Lumpur. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about what Blank exactly is.
Well, Blank follows an older play of mine, which was also performed in Kuala Lumpur, which is called White Rabbit, Red Rabbit.
Right.
The format is... we cast a new actor or actress per night. They don't have a clue of what they're going to do. They just receive the script in front of a live audience and they read it and perform it. The thing is, when I wrote Rabbit years ago, I put my email address in White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. And I asked people to write me their stories. And as I received their stories, I felt like I honestly felt like I'm not carrying the best stories. I felt like people are better writers. They're just humble and they don't write. So Blank is a story machine for the audience and for the actor. And it helps them to write a new show per night.
And how does the audience interaction part fit in? Or rather the audience contribution, I suppose. How does it fit in into the performance?
Well, it has different techniques. The most important one is Blank is a scattered text. It's a text full of blanks. And these blanks are being filled. We're talking about over, 400 or 500 blanks. Mm-hmm. And these blanks are being filled by the actor, by random audience members. And that's how the story is being made.
And is there a theme? Is there a narrative to the story?
Yes and no. I mean, all in all, you know, we're celebrating the life and the death of a character, which is someone among us. And of course, we talk about life in general. We talk about how you grow, what happens to you in your childhood, and the older you get. But there is not a linear story. That's the whole concept of the show. The story changes every night. Mm-hmm. Tonight it might be about a man who is named John and is from London. Tomorrow it might become about someone else.
It reminds me of that game that kids play, you know, where there are these cards with blanks in the story, and then you fill them up and then you sort of tell it at parties and whatever. Is that where did the inspiration for your blank come about?
Well, I've never played that game, but I can tell you that's the type of game that I would love to play. And I think, as I said, it's the inspiration was all the, I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of emails that I've been receiving in over 30-something languages in the past decade for White Rabbit, Red Rabbit. And I was not intended to ask for stories. I just gave my email and told people, like, yeah, write to me. And it's amazing that you wake up in the morning, someone writes an email to you, you know, from Penang, which you don't know before. You're like, hey, I live in this beautiful island. The street food is very famous. We're in Malaysia. We have a president who's called Najib. And you just like suddenly feel like, oh, my God, like this guy has a crazy story. I could write it, you know. It can become more and more personal sometimes if someone from your family was on a Malaysian flight, which disastrously ended up being disappeared in the ocean.
Right.
And I honestly felt like I have to come up with a structure to include all these stories. I can write one story about someone in Penang, but what about someone who is in Perth in Australia? Then I would miss this guy. And hey, I mean, William Shakespeare wrote only 33 plays. So that is, I think, where the inspiration came from. I looked for a format and I thought, these blanks can make this a story machine.
And, you know, as you mentioned, this really has its roots in White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, which connected with so many people and has been performed in so many languages, I think more than 20 languages. And not only that, it's actually been performed by an array of really famous names, including people like Whoopi Goldberg and Nathan Lane, Bobby Cannavale. What do you think it is about White Rabbit, Red Rabbit that resonated so much with so many people?
I think it has it's offering something new. It's the format mainly, I think, and I think I've proved it. Blank has done quite well. My new play, Nassim, casts a new actor. Mm-hmm. It's only a year and a half. We've already done it in 12 languages. We're around show 320 or 30. So it's not only about the concept that we've explored in Rabbit. It's about the form. We're living in an area where you pay, I don't know how much you pay, if you do 7, 8, 10, 12 euros or dollars, and then you have Netflix for a month.
Yeah.
You can watch as much as you want. And they're amazing, you know, amazing products. So what can theater offer where you have to basically spend 1 hour to arrive to the theater, mm-hmm. and then watch it for an hour or like 2 hours, and then another hour to go back home. And sometimes, I mean, we had a run of 160 shows in New York, and I got to watch lots of very expensive shows. You know, sometimes people pay $200-$300 to go and see a show. So what do we offer? We can just say, yeah, we just sing and we jump and we dance. We can say like, yeah, this is a tradition the government should pay, and you have to come, otherwise you're not sophisticated. Or the format of theater in itself should change in a way that includes the audience, in the way that it keeps them on their toes, and in a way that it delivers a message that if you only read something on your own or you watch something in your living room, you would not be able to gain this. So only if we gather together as a hive mind in a room, like a game, as you said, mm-hmm. we would be able to understand something. And I think that is what Rabbit offered. Mm-hmm. If you read White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, unless you have a very, very powerful armed eyes, like you're like a maker yourself who's smart and you can understand how it would work on stage, it would probably be boring to you. I can tell you the history in the course of a decade where we sold the play, It happened only once or twice that someone read White Rabbit, Red Rabbit in their home or in their office, and they wrote to us and they said, I want to produce it. Every producer who put Rabbit on watched it somewhere with a live audience and then immediately wrote to that email that I put in the play and told me, hey, if I want to produce it, what can I do?
Mm. It really is that feeling of... I mean, what theater is, isn't it? Something that can only exist in that moment and in that time.
It's very smart what you're saying. I mean, my question has always been what theater is not. Mm-hmm. So I kept thinking, like, what are we missing? You know, I kept thinking when theater became the most prominent format in the performing arts historically, there were other formats which are missed in the history. So someone should go back, dig, and try to recycle them in a way. Like look at the horrible, sometimes you see some horrible reality shows in TV, you know? I always think like, yeah, there is, it's the format is not horrible. The concept is horrible. Just it takes like a brave avant-garde artist, and people do that, to go and recycle this format and then bring it back with a strong concept. And then do a patchwork, put them together, and then try to go for like, okay, it's not just about the look, it's not the patchwork. I want it to work like a machine. Can I treat these formats like cogs and put them in a way that like you move the first one, the second one changes. And that's why it took 5-6 years to write Rabbit, 3 years and a half to write Blank, 4 years to ride Nassim. Mm. It takes like, you know, concentration and obsession. Sometimes I feel like I'm sick. My wife asked me once, we were walking together. That's before she works with me more closely. She told me, have you ever considered changing your job?
Well, that actually is, it brings me to my next question, which is, how do you write something like blank?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, because I try to, that's my hope. I try to surprise myself and everyone. I try to explore things that have not been explored, definitely not by me, hopefully not by others. Every new project demands a new method. So part of the time to write a play, for me, a long period of time is spent on finding how to write it. So even like the, it takes me some time to find out where I want to sit and write it. Mm. You know, it's really, really funny. Like we have different libraries in Berlin, and I have this funny joke. I say, like, I use libraries, I finish them. So where I wrote blank is not where I wrote, you know, Nassim or where I wrote Rabbit. Mm-hmm. But then again comes the idea of collaborating. Like in Rabbit, I had two very smart Canadian dramaturgs, very mature. They're in their 50s, legendary Canadian theater makers. And the relationship and the dynamics of our work was so different from what happened in Nassim, where I worked with this amazing Italian director and an amazing British dramaturg. So we come up with different formats. In Nassim, I can tell you there were moments that we had like 600 pages on the floor, and we had Sharpies and we had a game. It was a very hot summer in London. We were in an attic and we couldn't even turn on the fans. So we were just sweating and walking with Sharpies, with masks, because I'm allergic to dust.
And, goodness. You know,
and playing like a crazy, crazy game to see if we move the pages, what can happen. Mm-hmm. How can we eliminate words? How can we add words? It takes time. Lots of rewritings. And then, of course, tryouts.
So it strikes me, you know, when you're talking about this process, that one of the things you've said about your work is that you aspire to write a play that doesn't need a director. But then that also seems to place a lot more responsibility and a lot more of the weight of the final product on you as the writer.
Oh, that definitely is true. Talking about the process, when I wrote White Rabbit, Red Rabbit, and I say it took me almost, I think, like, I don't know, 6 years. Mm-hmm. It was me in Iran, in my room, and no one else. So I just rewrote and imagined and rewrote and imagined and rewrote and imagined, and I sent it out. Mm-hmm. So the whole, I mean, of course, the beauty of an actor, we really, I mean, but half or like 60, 70, I don't know how to calculate, part of the show was basically done somewhere else by someone else in another country without any help. So you have to think of algorithms, because it's a cold read, because the actor comes in, they don't know even how to use a microphone, where to stand, where to sit. They might even risk their lives. They might like do things that they shouldn't, and it might end up being dangerous. So you have to think about all these different ifs, like algorithm. What if the actor does not read this? What if the actor goes on a protest and stops reading? What if the actor decides not to answer to this question? What if the question is funny? What if the question, like a word like great, if I ask you a question, if I tell you, how do you feel now? Mm-hmm. And then there is a pause, and then my next line is great. If you say, I feel very sad, and mm-hmm. I say great, mm-hmm. then it doesn't really land.
Right, yeah.
If my next line is, I'm not surprised, and I tell you, how do you feel now? You say amazing, you say bored, you say, but my line is like, I'm not surprised, it mm-hmm. would work. So you have to consider all the possible scenarios.
Right. And how involved are you when producers do stage the plays? I mean, do you get involved at that point, or do you just sort of send the work out into the world? For instance, this Kuala Lumpur staging of Blank, how much involvement do you have with it?
I have zero involvement. Mm. All I know is Joe, my dear friend, mm-hmm. the artistic director, who's an amazing performer. Oh my God. I mean, I remember last time when I was in Malaysia, we were doing a workshop, and she kindly came in to check. And as humble as she is, she sat with the participants, and we were playing a game, and it demanded random people to stand up and perform. And I've heard she's a performer, but I've never watched her performing at the time. She stood up because she was picked randomly by someone, and she performed like a cow for 20 seconds, and my jaw literally dropped. Anyway, all I know is that I just received a message from her recently, like 2 weeks ago or like 10 days ago, where I was told like, hey, we're doing Blank, I'm very excited. And I replied, look, I'm very happy that my show is back in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. Of course, the process of licensing, but I don't license Blank or Rabbit. It's a German company which is doing it. For Nassim, I'm a bit more involved, not in casting, but because it's more of like a production. It demands me to tour with the show. It has a very small set. It's a suitcase.
Mm. Aren't you in Nassim?
I'm around, yeah. Mm. I partly perform, mm. yes, but in a different way. I mean, it's very. I wish I could spoil it, but yes, I'm not like it's still a cast, a new actor every night, mm-hmm. and I'm involved in a way, but I need to be there. So if I don't make it to the city to the venue, the show cannot happen. And there, of course, yes, I'm physically more involved. We have some technology. We have routers and things like that. So my stage manager and my technician has to take care of all of that. So we're more in the loop.
So you yourself are originally from Iran, and now you live in Berlin. So how much of your background and your experiences and also this idea of now being an immigrant, are these all things that inform the work that you make?
That's a good question. I think that's my starting point. Wherever I write, I start from who am I, and I'm like, why am I doing this? Why do I want to go back to another library and just look at like a white screen with a cursor and just hope that I can write 10 words before I go back home. Mm-hmm. And of course, where I come from has always been part of the journey and part of the answer to that question. And where I ended up in the whole, the whole journey of being an Iranian who moved to Europe, who has had the luxury of traveling all around the globe and working with amazing artists. These questions have always been there. But I think I've always, in the meantime, I've always were really concerned that I never wanted to stay in the first layer of being an Iranian, and sitting, doing like very direct political critic over the Iranian regime. Because I always thought like there was something more universal that can be said in the arts. I always considered it's not about Iran in 2019 on the verge of a disastrous war. Mm. It's about Iran. It's also about Iran in 200 years when it's blossoming and it's in peace. So what can you write which applies to both of these societies, to both? And that's what William Shakespeare did. Yes, that's why we keep doing Hamlet. Mm. It worked at the time, of course, and it's still working. Mm.
And is that also why you write works that not just apply to Iran through time, but also, you know, through to any place, really, because these stories, they can be staged in Malaysia, they can be staged in New York, and they are just as relevant.
Yes, exactly. And in the meantime, I have like, don't get me wrong, I'm a proud Iranian, okay? I mean, I can say I'm Persian, as like most Iranians want to brag about Persia, which is like a joke. Mm-hmm. But I think the borders of some piece of land used to define an individual. Being an Iranian, being a Malaysian, being German, it's not precise anymore. That does not really define someone in 2019. If you want to know me more closer, you should know I'm vegan. That helps you more, you know, to know me in comparison with knowing that I'm from Iran. So when I arrived in Malaysia, and I can tell you, I mean it, okay? We've been there for 2 weeks, my wife and I, and I can move to Malaysia and I can live. I could be a Malaysian, la. You know, it's these things like your skin, where your mother was born, your mother tongue. I mean, yes, I'm connected to my mother tongue. The whole concept of Nassim is about my mother tongue. But hey, I'm happy to speak with you in English. And I loved learning German, as hard as it was. You know, so I think that's where you go for like, yeah, I am a New Yorker. I am from Kuala Lumpur. I want to go back with a show, even if I'm not there, through my words. I want to travel to the cemetery in Penang, where I was taken by a very lovely guy, a tour guide. And I feel like, yeah, I have a brother in your town. I have a sister in your city. Mm-hmm. If I have the luxury of having a venue and an amazing, you know, performer or performers on stage and the lovely producers who are putting up whatever I ask for, what do I do for this cousin of mine in your city? If I want him to laugh, I want him to cry, I want him to have a beautiful night, what do I do for them? It's not only about my mom in Iran. It's about all of us.
Thank you so much. That is a lovely note to end on, I think.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much for talking to me.
I've been speaking to Nassim Sulaimanpour, whose theatre work Blank is being staged in Kuala Lumpur in a performance that features local performers and is being curated by Joe Kukatas. The show is part of the Damansara International Arts Festival and will be staged from the 5th to the 7th of July. Tickets are priced at 68 ringgit and are available on dpac.com.my. If you've missed any part of this show or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my, on our BFM app, or on Spotify. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.